Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower.
Good morning. This is Pastor Danielle Brown, Senior Pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. We are absolutely elated that you are worshiping with us today. Listen, if you're here in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on all of your social media pages so that everyone knows that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, we're glad that you're here too. And we ask that you would take this moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast. Share this broadcast with all of your network and then tag all of your friends and family members in the comments, because we believe that something is going to happen here at the Place of Peace that will change your lives forever and for the better. 2022 is the year that we re-engage, reclaim, rebuild, reimagine, and renew. And we are so excited that you are on this journey with us. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the Shiloh experience, which begins now.
Hallelujah. Good evening, Shiloh. Come on, good evening, Shiloh. Let's bless the Lord together. Hallelujah. What a privilege and an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord. Even on a Thursday night, He is worthy of the glory and the honor. We're going to ask everyone to stand all over the building as we go into prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. We honor You, for this is the day that You have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What a privilege and an honor it is, oh God, to be in Your house on tonight, to lift up Your name, oh God. So, Father, we pray that You would meet us in this building, oh God. Even on a Thursday, You are worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor, and we, Your people, come to lift You up. We, Your people, come to honor You. We, Your people, come to glorify You. We, Your people, come, hallelujah, to bless Your great name. For You are a great God, and You deserve all of the glory and all of the honor. Hallelujah. So God, release Your glory, release Your power, release Your spirit, oh God. We pray for revival fire to fall throughout this entire week, oh God. So Father, we thank You, we give You glory, and we give You honor. Come on, put your hands together like this. Hey, we come to bless Him. The name of Jesus lifted high, lifted high, lifted high. The name of Jesus lifted high. In everybody say,
name of Jesus, lift it.
Come on, say it.
Lift it high, lift it.
The name of Jesus,
name of Jesus,
lift it high in this place. Listen, revival fire coming down, falling down, falling down. Revival fire falling down in this place. Everybody say,
revival fire falling down.
Come on,
down,
say it.
Falling down.
Revival, revival down, fire,
fire
falling down,
down
in this place. Listen, release your glory on us now, on us now, on us now. Release your glory on us now in this place. Everybody say,
release your glory on us now.
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 Release your glory. Jesus, lifted high, it's lifted high, it's lifted high. The name of Jesus, lifted high in this place. Everybody say,
name of Jesus, lifted high,
lifted,
lifted,
the name of Jesus. An army arising. I hear the sound of an army arising. I hear the sound of an army arising in this place. Yeah, everybody say,
I hear the sound
of an army.
Say, I hear the sound.
If you lift him up, You'll feel his presence.
Hey.
I promise you, if you lift him up, his glory will saturate the atmosphere. That's what we come for. For his glory. We come for his glory. We come for his glory. God, we need you, Jesus. Somebody needs you today. Somebody needs your power. The true and living God. Hallelujah. We come to celebrate you, God. It is all about you. How great is our God. Sing with me.
Let us just pray. I would say we're going to do the invocation, but it's clear that the Spirit of the Lord is already in this place.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you for who you are, God, and we just adore you for this day. We adore you for who you are, God, because indeed you are gracious, you are kind, you are mighty, you are matchless, God. There is nobody like you. And for that, God, we say thank you. We thank you, God, for this day, a day that you ordained long before Pastor Brown was even born, God, that you knew that this day would come, that you prepared the place ahead of her, God. And so tonight, on Legacy Night, we say thank you. We thank you, God, for each and every person that came before her that laid a foundation for her to walk on firm ground. God, we thank you for each and every person, whoever poured into her, whoever prayed for her, God, whoever taught her, whoever helped her to study and see her way through closer to you. So, God, we just say thank you for this night. We thank you for your Spirit that is already alive and well in this place. And God, we say, come through here with reckless abandonment and have your way, God. Oh, stir up your people tonight. Open up our hearts that we would receive everything that you have for us in the midst of this worship experience. God, and we ask that right now you would just seal every moment under your grace. That there would be no mistakes, that there would be no mishaps, but all we would feel right now, God, would be your presence. Have your way in this place. Be with the preacher tonight, God. Be with our pastor. Touch her, strengthen her, equip her for the job that is yet ahead. We say thank you for her, God. We say thank you for the shoulders on which she stands. And we say thank you for the little ones that are coming behind her, that will learn from her, who will watch her, see her, and think to themselves, one day maybe me, God. And so, Lord, we love you, and it's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ we do pray. And all God's people did say, amen.
Come on, all over the building, let's lift this together. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Come on, Zion, let's sing it. How great is our God?
How great
say it.
Is our God?
Oh, sing
with me.
You said it. You declared it out of your mouth. How great.
Legacy. What is legacy? Legacy is leadership. Legacy is empowerment. Legacy is guts. It is the ability to take the risk. What is legacy? Legacy is not only leadership, empowerment, and guts, but legacy is achievement at the highest level possible. Legacy is courage under fire. It is that fortitude that allows us to stand within the times of trials and struggles. Legacy not only is courage, but legacy motivates young and old who are less experienced, but knowledgeable and well-skilled to step out on faith, to do what Jerena Lee did, Julia Foote, Prathia Hall, Shirley Caesar, Vashti Murphy McKenzie, and so many others. Paul said it best. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God got the increase. Legacy is so significant to the growth of God's kingdom. It manifests all that God has for each of us by watching, emulating, and surpassing those before. Because of them, we can. Trailblazers move, and the daughters of thunder take over.
Welcome. Say welcome. Look to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you're glad to be here. I hope the answer is yes. We praise God for your presence. We're asking that the Lord will bless all who are here tonight. The first thing I want to do is to find out who's in the house, who's visiting tonight. Would you stand to your feet? All of our visitors, come on, come on, come on, come on. Shiloh and all of us who are here, why don't we greet them? Our ushers are passing out wonderful packets for you. We're asking that you will go inside of that packet. There is a card we want you to tear off the bottom and that you will send that back to us. We're here tonight to celebrate. Say amen if you can. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for our ushers to take care of you. They may need some help. So let's ask God to give them what they need. Amen. I'm only going to take a few minutes of privilege, but I do want to say that I greet you with Jesus' joy. We are elated. I don't know if you got it from any of the video, but we are elated to be here tonight. This is the first of four services that we're having for the installation of our pastor. And this is our 10th senior pastor. I gotta say this because if I don't say it tonight, I may not have enough strength later on. Tonight, 14 years later, after I was the first woman licensed and ordained here at the Shiloh Baptist Church, we have now started a new legacy. The first senior pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church. Oh yeah, she's a dynamic, dynamo, foot stomping, high pitched preaching. I'm just letting you know, soaring through the clouds. That's our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Danielle L. Brown, senior pastor. Four nights. If you come tonight, you gotta come back. I welcome you tonight. I want you to not sit back and relax. I want you to engage, get involved, enjoy the worship. Stomp your feet, clap your hands, shout if you want to, scream, run around. We won't stop you because that's how excited we are to welcome you to the installation of our 10th senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Danielle L. Brown.
Come on, I want you to put your hands together one more time for your dynamic pastor, the Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown. Come on, Shiloh, you can do better than that. You have been blessed with an awesome leader, an awesome woman of God. Come on, she knows Jesus. She can preach, she can teach, she can pray, she's a visionary. And the hand of the Lord is upon her life. Come on, Shiloh. You can do better than that. God has blessed you with an awesome pastor. And I'm here to tell everybody that's here on tonight in the sanctuary, for those of you who are streaming online, if you think that God has been good to you in your yesterday, I promise you, you haven't seen anything yet. In fact, I dare you to tell your neighbor, get ready. Get your seatbelt wrapped around your waist because God is getting ready to do some awesome things in Shiloh that we have never seen before. My name is Dr. Christopher Michael Jones, and my assignment on tonight is to lead us in the moment of giving. And I love to give. I love to give. I love to give. In fact, Jesus gives us instruction. He gives us encouraging words in regard to giving, right? He says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will all be put into your lap. And watch this, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now watch this. What I love about Jesus is that when he teaches the disciples, Jesus always speaks in allegory. And so when Jesus says to the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you, Jesus had in mind, think of a measuring cup, right? If you want a teeny blessing, well then you use a teeny measuring cup. If you want an intermediate blessing, well then you use an intermediate limited measure cup. But if you want the fullness of God, if you want a kingdom blessing, then Jesus encourages us to use a large kingdom measuring cup. And so I want you all to prepare your hearts to give on tonight, because Jesus promises us that if we give in good measure, that the Lord will bless us with a blessing that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. By the show of hands, how many in the house tonight are ready for a pressed down, shaken together, running over kind of blessing? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that kind of blessing. So I want to encourage everybody on tonight to get your measuring cup. Get your measuring cup. Get your measuring cup. We are getting ready to sow into Shiloh on tonight. I've been instructed that there are also boxes that have been prepared for those who desire to sow into your pastor. And I could imagine that everybody in the house on tonight is ready to sow into the life and the ministry of your pastor. So Pastor, I'm getting ready to lead us in prayer. We're going to pray over the offering. Are there any receptacles stationed? The people are going to march. Ask your neighbor, do you have your measuring cup ready? Ask someone else on your pew, how much of a blessing are you looking for tonight? And is your measuring cup commensurate with the blessing that you're looking for? And the good news is, no matter the size of the measuring cup, Jesus is more than able to bless you with a running over kind of blessing. All we have to do is have a heart to give. That's all we have to do is have a heart to give. So let us pray. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for allowing us to sow into Shiloh on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for also offering us an opportunity to sow into the life of our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Brown. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would receive our offerings, that you would blow upon these offerings, and that you would multiply these offerings so that Shiloh can do all of the work that you have assigned to this house. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for that individual that came with the best that they have, coming with an obedient spirit, giving by faith, trusting that, Lord, if they give what they have, that you will bless it and that you would multiply it according to your riches and glory. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that Shiloh would be blessed with abundance on tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would send an overflow into this house, Lord, so that the place of Shiloh would enter into a season of robust fullness that it has never experienced before. We thank you, Lord God, for the outpouring that is being poured into this place on tonight. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would receive our offerings and that you would use it for your glory alone. Bless Shiloh. Bless Pastor Brown. And bless the people who came with a heart to give. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
The Lord is high above the heaven.
And his glory above the nation.
And his glory above the nation.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
And his glory above the nation.
And his glory above the nation.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
And his glory above the nation.
And his glory above the nation.
We'll give God the highest praise and acknowledge him always. And all the people say,
ministry. Just look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad to see you. I'm so glad that you are here. I want to echo Reverend Thorpe's sentiments and welcome you to Shiloh Baptist Church on the occasion of our 10th pastoral installation. Now come on, put your hands together and let's celebrate. Tonight we have tagged tonight as Legacy Night.
And so what I understand is that while we are gathering to celebrate that I am the person that is being installed, I also understand that the Shiloh Baptist Church has been great. I've said it several times on Sunday mornings, every opportunity I can, that Shiloh Baptist Church has been great since 1908. And so this season, or this time marks a new season in the life of the Shiloh Baptist Church, but new seasons don't erase the foundation that was. Come on, can we celebrate a foundation that was? And so on this legacy night, I wanted to honor a few people who have led the Shiloh Baptist Church in the interim. There have been people here leading this great church and sustaining this great church so that by the time you called me, Deacon Banks, there'd be a church for me to pastor. And so for that, I'm grateful. And so tonight, I just want to thank the chairman of our deacon's ministry, Deacon James Davis. Would you just come, Deacon Davis? Come on, make some noise for Deacon Davis. This is just a gift for you, sir. You can stand up here. When I arrived just a few short months ago, I don't know that Deacon Davis knew how fast we would take off, but he bears with me and works with me and supports me, and I am grateful. This is a great man of God. I'd also want to thank the chair of our deaconess ministry, Deaconess Flora Williams. Saint Flora. And finally, the Reverend Sheila L. Thorpe. Thank you for your leadership and for your support in the time that I've been here and your support in the days to come and the years to come. You notice I said days and years. So don't tell me that you're tired and all of that stuff. We got some more years to go, right? And tonight on this legacy night, I just wanted to just give you a small token that acknowledges our appreciation for your service, for your leadership, and your partnership, and your work. I love you, and I'm grateful for you. Amen. Mr. Gene, Reverend Gene, let's introduce our preacher.
John R. Faison Sr. is the senior pastor of Watson Grove Baptist Church, a growing multi-generational, multi-site church with campuses in Nashville, Tennessee and Franklin, Tennessee. The Grove endeavors to be a growing church for growing people whom Christ will use in growing his kingdom. A native of Boykins, Virginia, Pastor Faison holds a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from Virginia State University in Petersburg, Virginia, a Master of Arts in Practical Theology from Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and a Doctor of Ministry from Payne Theological Seminary in Wilberforce, Ohio.
Place where you need him. Clearly God has foresight and vision and can see what's coming. If God could do all of that, why didn't God get Sanballat to buy it and get some all the way
Pastor
together?
Faison is a highly sought after communicator of the gospel. Young and seasoned alike have been blessed by his message of allegiance and authenticity, as well as his willingness to deal with relevant issues. Pastor Faison's dexterity with different audiences stems from his broad spectrum of experiences. In addition to his 23 years of ministerial experience, he is also a decorated veteran, having served as a U.S. Army officer for 8 years. Pastor Faison is a recognized voice at events throughout the country, including the Hampton University Ministers Conference, Clinton Global Initiative, the Samuel D. Proctor Conference, NAACP Leadership 500, and Word Network, and universities throughout the country. Pastor Faison is blessed with influence that extends beyond the local church. He is a passionate advocate for the community transformation and development, as seen in his work as an HIV/AIDS National Ambassador with the NAACP, mentor in public school districts, and advisor to several community organizations. In denominational life, he serves as the assistant to the Bishop of Social Action for the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. In Nashville, he serves as the president of the Grove Community Development Corporation and a member of the boards of trustees at Belmont University and Leadership Nashville. Academically, he is an adjunct professor at Payne Theological Seminary. Fraternally, he is a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated and Sigma Pi Phi Fraternity. Pastor Faison is the proud father of 3 amazing children, John Jr., Aja, and Jaden. Shiloh Baptist Church, let's give a big Shiloh welcome to Pastor John Faison Sr.
Thank God that God gave us his grace and his mercy to come into this place on today. You thought I was worth saving? You thought I was worth saving? So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping? So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came.
So you came and changed.
Come on, help us. You thought I was worth. So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. You thought
I was to die for. Is that your testimony out there?
So you sacrificed.
Somebody say, so I can be free.
So I can be free. So I can be whole. So I can tell everyone. You thought I was worth saving.
Yes, sir. So you.
So you cleaned me up.
You
thought I was to die for.
Somebody talk to me out there. worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. Begin to worship right here in this part of the service. Somebody just open up your mouths and begin to bless God, because he thought you was worth saving. He thought you was worth saving. Somebody just open up your mouths and give God glory in this place. If you appreciate that he died for you, and that's the reason why we're standing here looking at each other today, we're grateful to give him glory and to give him honor. And that's why we're here giving him praise and giving him honor and giving him worship, because he's worthy. So I can be free. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody give him glory. Somebody give him glory. We worship you, oh God. We worship you. We thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. That's it. Continue to worship him in this place. You're worthy. You're worthy, oh God. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, oh God. We worship you. We worship you.
If you've got a reason to give God glory, if you've got a reason to give the Lord praise on tonight, if you know it had not been for the Lord on your side, if you are very acutely aware that you are the beneficiary of grace you do not deserve, mercy you could not earn, favor you could not manufacture, love that you could not make up on your own, do me one favor. Before we go into the word, open up your mouth one more time and just tell God, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's go to God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we are grateful for today. We're grateful for your goodness. Thankful for your grace. Ever mindful, Lord, that you have been better to us than we even have the capacity to be to ourselves. You continue every single day to meet us in the morning with brand new mercy. You continue to shower us with grace. All night and all day, angels are still watching over us. God, we can testify today that you are present help in the time of trouble and in the time of triumph. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. And so, Lord God, we dare not come together in this space and not honor your name. So, Lord, we lift you today. We thank you for blessings that we prayed for. And even blessings we didn't even have on the list. We thank you that you stay with us from season to season to season. Seasons we could prepare for, and then seasons we could not anticipate. You've been faithful to us. Lord, we give you praise tonight. Lord, I pray for those who are gathered in this space, and even those who are gathered in the virtual sanctuary. We thank you, Lord, that this is not just a service. We believe it's an assignment. You got something you want to say tonight, something you want to do in, through, and amongst your people. So, Lord, it's our prayer that you'll prepare our hearts to engage and to encounter the Spirit that to this day still gives life, still refreshes us, still sets us afire, still breathes a fresh wind into us. Us tired bodies, us weary minds, us still dealing with the repercussions and the remnants of seasons gone past. We need to hear from you tonight. So, Lord, here's my prayer, that you'll let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart allow it to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, to my strength and my redeemer. God, preach through me, to me, for me. Send the word so your people are edified. But in all things, it's your name that receives the glory. God, I bless you for the treasure that you've placed in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Punish not your people now for the frailty of your preacher. Allow me to say it the way you want it said. Lord, you know my power is not enough. I need yours. My strength is insufficient. I am woefully inept for this moment. I need you. Have your way today. Do what only you can do and say what only you can say, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, praise, and credit, both now and forever. We pray it in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Come on, if you love God, give him praise one more time in God's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated just for a moment, because I praise God for the opportunity to be here tonight. I am so grateful, so absolutely honored and humbled to be able to stand before you tonight, to stand with you, the Shiloh Church, to honor, to celebrate the gift that God has given unto you. It is a tailor-made gift. It's not random, it is not haphazard. You have been given a gift from God's own heart. So will you help me to applaud, celebrate the pastor of this people and the angel of this assembly, my friend, my sister, with her sharp self, Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown. Come on, praise God. God bless you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all don't understand how proud I am in this moment. Dr. Brown and I have been friends for over 25 years. We started as freshmen at Virginia State University together fall 1997. Amen, amen, amen. We both had less wrinkles then. But we thank and praise God for grace and favor. Amen. 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 What a joy, man. Just an amazing gift to watch her story and to see what God is doing in her life. I'm so excited. So excited and honored to be here tonight. To all of the preachers who are here tonight, those who have graced the pulpit, as well as those who are gathered. If you're a preacher, I want you to stand tonight. Stand tonight. Sometimes you need to know that you got preachers praying for you and standing with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for your presence. I know that means the world to Dr. Brown. It also means and makes a statement to Shiloh that Dr. Brown is not by herself. Amen. Amen. That we are praying and we're standing with her in this moment. To all of you, my dear father's children, what a blessing. Again, what a privilege it is to stand and share tonight. I don't want to be before you long, but I believe there's a word from the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I read from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. It may be a little bit different perhaps from what you're used to hearing. But I want you to hear the word and hear the spirit of the word tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 9. in your own time, in your own devotional moments, I want you to read the entire chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're not going to read the entire chapter tonight. We're going to skip around a little bit, but 1 Samuel chapter 9. When it comes to preaching moments, y'all, we can't give you the whole movie, the whole story. So when it comes to preaching, what you get are clips and trailers. If you really want the movie, you got to go read the story. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where we'll begin. We're also going to read 1 Samuel chapter 10, one verse from there, 10 and 1. Here's the verses we want to read tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 3. When you have it, let it be known by saying amen. Here's what it says. One day, Kish's donkeys strayed away, and he told Saul, take a servant with you. Go look for the donkeys. So Saul took one of the servants and traveled through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalisha, the Shalim area, and the entire land of Benjamin. But they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Skip down to verse 17. Verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Just then Saul approached Samuel at the gate and asked, can you please tell me where the seer's house is? I am the seer. Prophet Saul replied, go up to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together, and in the morning I'll tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hopes. Turn to the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Here's what it says. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil, poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I'm doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. This is the word of the Lord. Might the people of God say amen. Amen. I want to talk tonight with the Holy Spirit's guidance and with your prayers from the subject, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. Listen, we're not in the season of touching anybody. Would you just look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, believe it or not, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. Beloved, the journey to purpose is one that requires the investment of our entire selves. Nothing can or should be withheld when you are going after the purpose God designed for you. Nothing should be withheld, but you also have to be careful that you don't waste any energy at the same time. So I'm chasing after purpose, and I'm fully giving myself, and I'm also stewarding well the energy that I have to make sure everything is invested properly so I get where I'm supposed to go. But what do you do when parts of the journey begin to feel like a waste of time? You are going after purpose. You are doing what you've been called to do. And yet you run into spaces, seasons, stages of the journey that can feel like a waste of time. Well, I know you might not be able to testify too loudly tonight, but you know the feeling that feels like you might be wasting time, when there are stages of our lives that look and feel nothing like what we believe we're called to be. When you are assigned to do things, serve in places, and even give in ways that feel like a waste of time. Maybe you're in a season that does not seem to be producing anything at this particular moment. Perhaps you might be in a job that feels like a dead end, feels like a waste of time. Sometimes you can even feel like you're behind schedule. And what you're currently doing doesn't seem to be getting you any closer to where you want to be. Have you ever been there? You ever found yourself in a place where it seemed like you were treading water, but you couldn't really swim like you wanted to? But it felt like waste of time. If you've ever been there before, I'm talking to you. If you've never been there before, keep living, you will, and I'm talking to you too, because I believe I've been sent to encourage you today. Because what you may feel like is a waste of time actually isn't a waste at all. Here's why. Because when it comes to God, every season matters. When it comes to dealing with God, there are no inconsequential moments. Everything matters, and God uses it all for the purpose that you've been given. You may not be doing what you want, but you might be doing what you need. You may not be where you want to be, but you are probably right where God wants you. The assignment you may have currently may not be your vision for your life, but it might be the vehicle that gets you to the vision that God gave. Beloved, the key in these less than desirable phases and seasons of life is to stay committed to the purpose of God, regardless of your position. I said that too fast. I'll say it again. I said the key to maximizing these tumultual and often trial-filled moments, Dr. Brown, is that you stay committed to the purpose even when the position doesn't make sense. I'll give it to you another way. Don't waste your energy even when it feels like you might be wasting your time. One more time. Do not mismanage, misuse, and abuse a particular moment in your life simply because it feels like it doesn't matter. What am I saying? I'm telling you, beloved, that you need to give yourself fully to whatever God has assigned. Pour your energy into what and where God has placed you. Because while doing the assignment God gives to you, you will walk into the space God created for you. I said it too fast. Let me say it again. I said you got to use every season that you have properly. Because while you're doing the assignment God gave to you, you're going to walk into the space God created for you. Beloved, you ain't got to take my word for it. The story of Saul tonight serves as a great paradigm of how this particular principle works. We get introduced to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9. The Bible tells us he is the son of a man named Kish. Kish is a wealthy, wealthy man who's from the tribe of Benjamin, doing pretty well for himself. And he has a son named Saul. Bible tells us he is descriptively head and shoulders taller than everybody else in Israel. He is handsome. He is tall, dark, and handsome. Everybody appreciates and respects Saul, but Saul, with his tall, dark, and handsome self, gets an assignment. His job is to chase donkeys. The donkeys of Kish got lost, and Kish sends Saul and a servant to go and chase after donkeys. Seemingly menial task. Doesn't make a lot of sense to send somebody that fine to go chase donkeys. Saul decides to engage in the assignment and to do what his father told him to do. He chases the donkeys with the servant. The Bible says they chase through the land of Shalisha, the Shalem area, and to all of Benjamin, and they don't find any donkeys. Saul is ready to quit. He's ready to give up, but the servant says, hey, don't quit too fast. I heard there's a seer around here.
we'll go see the seer, and maybe we'll find the donkeys. And Saul says, we ain't got nothing to give. I didn't bring my debit card with me. I don't have a seed to sow to the seer. Servant pulls out a coin and says, I got one. I this one's on me. You just go with me, find the seer. They go looking for the seer. They still don't know where he is. They get close to where he might be, and they see some sisters drawing water. And the Bible says they have a conversation with these sisters, and the sisters give them the guidance where they need to go. They end up going to see Samuel, the seer. Thing is, while Saul's heading to Samuel, God's already talked to Samuel about Saul. And by the time they meet up at the end of that day, things have changed for Saul. He started the day chasing donkeys. He ended the next day walking into his destiny. What are you saying? I'm telling you, you got to be careful what you decide you ain't going to do. Because the journey to the assignment God gives to you is going to walk you into the space that God created for you. Beloved, the story of Saul teaches us some powerful lessons. I want to give you a few of them, and then I'll let you go home. Here's some lessons that I believe the story of Saul is designed to teach you and I. Y'all interested tonight? Here's first lesson I want to teach you. Our first lesson I believe the story teaches us is that, number one, simple does not mean insignificant. Simple, easy does not mean unimportant. See, often the journey that we're on is filled with steps that don't look that serious. And you got to be careful not to let the simplicity of the moment cause you to miss the God in it. Verse 3, do you have your Bible? You need your Bible tonight. Verse 3, text says, one day Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, take a servant with you. I told you Saul, who Saul is. Saul is the handsome son of Kish, head and shoulders above all of Israel. It is seemingly a menial task for someone with this description, but Saul engages the journey not because of the task itself, but because of the one who assigned the task. Beloved, can I help you? When God is evaluating us for tomorrow, God often does it with little things today. God is trying to see whether or not we are prepared, equipped, and have the capacity for tomorrow. He often tests us today. And when he tests us, he doesn't test us with large things. He tests us with simple, easy, menial things. And how we respond to small things is usually a big indication of who we really are. See, if I can be trusted with the small, then bigger things will come. But the test, beloved, is never about your ability. The test is usually about your obedience. See, if you don't have ability, I can train skill, but I can't train character. I can teach ability, but you either are going to obey and follow God or you're not going to. It's the test is about obedience, and small things lead to great opportunities if we are faithful. But the problem is, for some of us, is that the assignment ain't big enough. It don't fit the size of our swollen egos. We won't say yes to what God has assigned. Let me help you tonight. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. If serving is beneath you, then having a title and capacity and authority and responsibility is past your capacity at this moment. Simple does not mean insignificant. There's another lesson. Can I give it to you tonight? Here it is. Saul is telling to teach us tonight that simple does not mean insignificant. Here's the second one. Frustration can breed creativity. Yeah. It's sometimes in the moments where you are beside yourself, where you are forced to come outside of yourself. It's in the moments when you are frustrated and confused and flabbergasted and overwhelmed that you often find out there's more in you than you ever knew was there. Every journey that God assigns will pose challenges for us. These challenges can become often so frustrating that we are tempted to stop the journey altogether. You have been frustrated. I mean, you were doing what you were assigned to do, Dr. Brown, and you got frustrated. Sometimes it's not the assignment that frustrates you. Sometimes it's the place you're sent to do the assignment that can frustrate you. Frustration, if it settles on you too long, it makes you feel like what you're doing is a waste of time. Do you have your Bible? Verse 4, text says, so Saul took one of the servants, traveled through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalisha, Shalem area, the entire land of Benjamin. They couldn't find what they've been looking for. They're doing what they're assigned, but they're not succeeding at what they're doing. The Bible says in verse 5, Saul decides, you know what, this ain't working. Let's go back home. Matter of fact, he says, my dad is probably more concerned about me than he is the donkeys right now. But it's the servant that's with him that says, hold on, this way didn't work. Let's try something else. Let me help you. Frustration on your journey is not meant to make you concede. It's designed to make you creative. It's not meant to make you quit and throw the towel in, because often if you forfeit the journey, you also forfeit the prize. Frustration is designed to get you to dig deeper inside of you and to discover that I might have some ingenuity, some innovation, and some imagination I've not tapped into. The frustration gives you the opportunity to stretch muscles you've never stretched before, to think in ways you've never conjured before, to use your gifts and your talents and your capacities in ways you never have before. Don't let frustration make you quit, when really it's designed to make you think. It's designed to pull something out of you. Can we just tell the truth about our pandemic experience? We didn't know how creative church could be until we had to. You didn't know how much of God you could feel in your bathroom watching the stream until you had to. You didn't know how much the Holy Spirit would meet you in your car until you had to. Because frustration is meant to breed creativity. And if you don't quit when it gets hard, you'll learn something about God and yourself that you never knew. Saul's trying to teach us tonight that whatever you're going through, whatever season you're in, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. Simple is not insignificant. Frustration breeds creativity. I got another one for you. Here's another lesson Saul's teaching us. Saul, I believe, is teaching you and I that when it comes to this journey, assistance is often found in ignored voices. Do you have your Bible? Because here's the thing. See, when God sends you and I on a journey, God never sends us alone. God already has provided for us the guidance necessary to accomplish what we've been assigned. But the crazy part is that guidance does not always show up in the forms that we would expect. See, we often miss these gifts that God sends to us along the journey because we are conditioned to reject the package they show up in. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything I need to accomplish what God has assigned me has already been laid out for me. And if I don't have it, that means I don't need it. But often I can't see it, I can't capture it, I can't enjoy its benefits, not because it's not there, but because it showed up in a package I didn't recognize. We've been conditioned to only accept certain packages. We've been conditioned, we've been shaped socially and culturally that certain people can only do certain things. And if you get stuck on a package and miss the gift, it ain't the package's fault. I'm trying to hurry up here. Do you have your Bible? Here's the guidance. Here's the guidance that shows up for Saul on the way. Bible says, verse 6, he gets frustrated. He's ready to go back home and say, forget it. And it's the servant that comes to the rescue. Don't miss that word. Servant. It's the servant that comes to the rescue. It's the servant that has the better idea. It's also the servant that has the gold coin and the seed to be able to go see the seer. It's the servant who has the guidance that Saul needs in this season. But if Saul can't listen to a servant, he's going to miss exactly what is needed to get from one stage to the next. If Saul is stuck on himself, talking about I'm the son of Kish and you listen to me, and he operates with a hegemonic mindset that you are inferior to me, you are the servant, you work and serve me, I don't take advice from you, you take advice from me, he's gonna miss the gift that the servant is going to provide. He gets guidance from the servant. But then he gets guidance from somebody else. Verse 6, he gets guidance from the servant. Verse 11, he gets guidance from some sisters. Verse 11, verse 13, I'm going to read it for you. You got to check it out in your own time. Bible says, as they were climbing out of the hill of the town, they met some young women who were coming out to draw water. So Saul and the servant asked them, is the seer here today? And these sisters, who are socially and culturally supposed to be silent, tell them, he sure is. Stay on this road. He's at the town gates. He just arrived to take part in a public sacrifice. He says, listen, hurry up, go catch him before he goes up there to eat. Because guests won't be eating until he arrives to bless the food. Samuel doesn't know it, but the key to his next season is in the seer. But he can't get to the seer because he doesn't know where the seer is. So God places some sisters along the path to speak to him and tell him exactly where to go, what time to go, and where the seer is. I don't have to tell you how biblical culture has treated women. I don't have to tell you how American culture has treated women. I'll tell you how black church culture has treated women. They're supposed to be seen and not heard from. Certain roles they can't occupy. Certain places they're not supposed to be in. We've even taken scriptures and turned them into daggers to make sure these women don't do what they're called to do. But if Saul has a problem with women, he ain't gonna make it to Samuel. Unless he can take advice from somebody who culture has told him should be ignored, he's going to miss a vital part of where he's going. Can I help you tonight? Sometimes you gotta listen to who culture told you not to listen to. There are seasons in life when God selects and sovereignly selects those who he decides and chooses to use. And you and I don't get to decide who we're going to listen to. You and I don't get to choose who's eligible for leadership. You and I don't get to select who can hear from God and who can't. Can I celebrate Shiloh tonight? That you kicked against all tradition that you rebuffed all kinds of craziness that you probably heard in the city and the Baptist Association. Listen, I'm Baptist all my life. I know how this works. You have kicked against it all and said, instead of following what we think or instead of following those who we said we're supposed to follow, let's hear from God. And God sent you a pastor that's after his own heart. God sent you somebody who culture might say you need to ignore, but I'm telling you, God says pay attention to. Because you can't get to Samuel if you don't listen to the voice God sent. You're going to miss your next season because you can't handle the package your gift showed up in. You're going to mess around and miss the place of favor God has for you because God did it in a way you don't understand. I am preaching better than you saying amen. I'm almost done. It's never a waste, y'all. Never you follow God and do what God told you to do. It's never ever a waste. There's one more lesson I want to give you, and I'm going to let you go. Here it is. Saul teaches us the last thing is this, that the power is in your pursuit. The power is in your pursuit. When you get serious about the assignment you have been given, that assignment, Doc Brown, has a way of rearranging your entire life. It takes you places you ain't signed up for. It puts you in places you never thought you'd be in. It makes you rearrange your own personal and chronological itineraries. It takes a hold of you. And if you're serious about it, you get buried in it because you want it to work out so badly. You give yourself fully to it. But there are moments when it doesn't go the way you want it to go. And when it doesn't, it's easy to feel disappointed. It's easy to feel lost. It's easy to feel like you wasted your time. I done all of this work. I done put all this time in. I've met the gates. I've hit the benchmarks. I've even exceeded the curve. And I still ain't where I think I need to be. It can make you feel disappointed and lost. But in these moments, God wants you to know your time was not wasted. It wasn't. I know it feels like you missed your window. I know it feels like you've watched others go before you who started behind you. I know it's even worse when you see people less qualified, more blessed. You can feel like you may have wasted your time. In these moments, beloved, I need you to settle in your spirit. You did not waste your time because often the assignment was never about completion. The assignment was about trust. It wasn't about getting done what you were necessarily assigned to do. It was about carrying and stewarding the assignment well and trusting the God who was in charge of the timeline. And when you, Dr. Brown, committed to pursue the assignment, God often says, now I've seen everything I need to see. And so while you think you're lost, you actually have been found. Because it was never about completing the assignment, it was about trusting God enough to go do it. Do you have your Bible? Verse 20, the text says, Prophet Samuel finally gets to Saul and tells him, oh yeah, those donkeys you've been chasing. Don't worry about them. They've been found. He says, I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hopes. Saul was pursuing lost donkeys, but destiny found him along the way. He started the day as a donkey chaser. He ended the day as a nation leader. Because he didn't let the assignment that felt beneath him get away from him. I'm done. 1 Samuel 10 verse 1, Bible says, Samuel anoints Saul to be the first king of Israel. But the anointing for king only came after Saul committed to the assignment of chasing donkeys. If God can trust you and I to handle the assignment, then God can trust you and I to hold the anointing. Too fast. If God can trust you and I to handle the assignment, whatever it is, then God can also trust you and I to hold on to the anointing God has for the next season you've been assigned. Too fast. One more time. If God can trust you to handle the assignment, then God can also trust you to hold on to the anointing. There's something that God has in store for you and I that can only be accomplished if we say yes to the plan God has designed for our lives. I came to tell you tonight, you might be frustrated right where you sit today, but God is not finished with you. You might be in a season that makes sense to you, but if you'll follow and go after where God has sent you to go, then I'm a witness, God will give you what you need for the next season of your life. I came to encourage frustrated believers tonight that believe that they might have wasted some time in this particular season. Can I tell you that what you do for the Lord, it's never a waste of time. If you served faithfully, you're doing what he said. If you stand still, you're doing what he said. If you serve and don't nobody see what you're doing, you're still doing what he said. And the Bible says, if I am faithful over a few things, God will make me a ruler over many. Is there anybody in the building tonight or watching in the virtual sanctuary that can testify, I've learned how to be faithful. I've learned how to hang in there and trust God anyhow. It doesn't make sense sometimes. Sometimes my motives are misunderstood. Sometimes I get frustrated. And sometimes my heart gets broken. But I trust that my Father, who gave me the assignment, he will take care of me. I gotta get out of here, y'all. But when I survey scripture, not just in the Old Testament, but I see another son who was sent by his father to chase after lost things. When I look in scripture, I see a man named Jesus who was born of a virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes, who came down through 40 and two generations, came to serve folks who couldn't stand him, came to live and be an example of what it means to obey the Father. He says, if you've seen the Father, then you've seen me, and my meat is to do the will of the one that sent me. They had other plans for him. They wanted him to overthrow Roman government. They wanted him to ride in on a stallion and have a crown on his head, but he rode in on a donkey, hanging out with people who had been marginalized. He said, I didn't come to do your will. I came to do the assignment, but that assignment took him to some dark places. One Friday night, he ended up in Calvary with nails in his hands and nails in his feet. One Friday night, he died for you and for me. The Bible says they took him off the cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, I thought I was in a Baptist church. I said 3 days later. Let me say it another way. Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands because he kept the assignment. He got a brand new anointing. Paul says, now he's been given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee it shall bow, and every tongue it shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. God the Father. Is anybody in the building tonight that'll accept your assignment? Is there anybody here that wants a fresh anointing? If that's your story, do me one favor. Lift your hands, open up your mouth, and say yes. Say yes. Say yes.
About 20 seconds and just lift up our hands and
and say, God, I thank you for meeting me while I was chasing donkeys. While I was chasing donkeys, you gave me destiny. Somebody ought to shout in this place, God, I thank you for reminding me tonight that all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the struggle, it was never a waste. Somebody shout in this place, glory! Come on, tell your neighbor, it was never a waste. Never, 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 never. It was never a waste. Never. God has plans for you. And God is not done with you yet. I wonder if I could get about 5 folk in the church not afraid to turn around and say, God, I'm ready. Anybody in the house ready on tonight? Then lift up your hands and say, glory. Just in case there might be some folk in the house that didn't hear the preacher, I just want to recount for your remembrance some of the things that the preacher said. Your frustration is not to make you concede, it is to make you creative. Don't let your frustration make you quit. Whatever season you're in, it's not a waste. Assistance is often found in ignored voices. I have everything that I need. If you get stuck on the package, you might miss the gift. And if you miss the gift, it's not the gift's fault. This is the season for servants. Servants are what are needed in this season. Sometimes you have to listen to the voices that the culture told you not to listen to. Don't miss your next season because you got stuck on the package. Power is in your pursuit. Don't let your feelings fool you. The assignment wasn't about completion. It was about trust. Trust the God of your timeline. Trust God to do it. Last but not least, Saul was pursuing lost donkeys and found destiny along the way. Come on and put your hands together for this preacher, par excellence. Come on, you can do better than that, Shiloh. You can do better than that. I believe that this was a word for the house, and I know that this was a word for me. By the show of hands, how many of you agree that this was a word for you? If there is somebody on your pew who raised their hand, tell your neighbor one more time. Tell your neighbor one more time. It was never a waste. God isn't finished with you yet. We thank God for Pastor John Faison and the anointing that is on his life. We thank you for his willingness to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that God could use him as a vessel to share a word for the house. Anybody encouraged on tonight? Anybody grateful that you pressed your way into the house of the Lord to receive this word? Anybody encouraged and excited for your pastor? Pastor, I think we're going to transition right to the communion table. I want to introduce to all of you a woman of God, an incredible pastor, and an anointed preacher. I call her Mama. In fact, there were many a time when Pastor Danielle and I, we used to be on staff together. I'm her big bro. She calls me big bro. She calls me when, you know, she needs to get an alternative opinion on the matter. And I always told Pastor Brown, you know, whenever you need me to knock somebody out, I'll take this collar off and I'll be with you in 10 minutes. I'm that kind of big bro, just so y'all know, amen? But there have been times when both Pastor Brown and I would sit at the feet of the Reverend Dr. Bernadette Glover. And by the time she was done with us, we felt like we needed to be saved all over again. Those of you who know her know what I am talking about. She has a way of making you rethink your calling in the Lord, amen? And she is getting ready to come to minister at the communion table. And I want you all to stand on your feet as she prepares to come now to lead us in the breaking of bread at the fellowship table. Shiloh, I introduce to you none other than the great anointed pastor, the Reverend Dr. Bernadette Glover. Come on and put your hands together. Amen and amen.
Help us sing that. He did not. He decided. We give the Lord thanks and praise. It is a treasure to be in the house of the Lord, isn't that right? I said it's a treasure to be in the house of the Lord. We honor the Lord for this moment that we have to spend together. We honor the Lord for Dr. Brown, whom we love dearly, for all the saints, for Dr. Faison, and all of those here are assembled. Most of all, we came to honor Jesus. Came to honor Jesus. I'm going to ask if the music team could lower that music a little bit. I appreciate that. Y'all are awfully good. Awfully good. I just needed you to take it down. Love you madly. I want to read something from the scripture, if you don't mind. In the gospel according to Matthew, I want to start with verse 20. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the one, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I wanted to take the time to read this scripture for one reason. Whenever we gather like this around the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, always represents a dividing line. It is a line between those who are attached to the work and those who are attached to the Lord of the work. It is always a dividing line between those who are attached to the work and those who are attached to the Lord of the work. We say that because with three words, Jesus examined all of his leadership. Jesus put it out and he said, "One of you." Three words, search the whole crowd. And after those three words, all of them said, "You talking about me? You talking about me? Me?" And Jesus says, "Nah." He said, "It's the one who dips his hand in the bowl with me." The hand is always what you're attached to. My God. And the wonderful thing that's so amazing is that the thing that's so striking is that the text never says that Judas's hand was in the bowl with the hand of Jesus. Never. Text does not say that. But what it does say is that after Jesus puts that line out, then Jesus says, "You talking about me? You talking about me? Yeah, he was talking about him, all right. He was talking about him. Rabbi, you talking about him. That's the difference. Those who are attached to the Lord of the work call him Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those who are only attached to the work say Rabbi. That is the difference. And you know what? That means this meal for all those whose hand are attached to the Lord of the Word. For all of us for whom that is true, this meal is a moment of consecration. But for all who are attached only to the work, this is a moment. It is an altar call. It is an invitation to alteration.
My God.
So the question is that your hand in the bowl? To make it even worse is that Judas, all of them went through the fellowship meal, the meal that marked their redemption. And at the end of the meal, Judas stands and sings every line of the hymn. If you're here tonight and you're not attached to the Lord of the work, let me encourage you. Make an altar call in your own heart. I don't care how long you've been on your post. You're a liability if you're not attached to the Lord of the work. And you may know every line of the song, but if you sing and you're not attached to the Lord of the song, your voice is as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal.
My God.
In these moments, sanctify these moments. Let us prepare our hearts. Thank you. bring it down, brother. We're going to be whispering in a second. I have to have room. I have to be able to hear the presence of God. I got to be able to hear a whisper. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Receive with humility the body of Christ, broken with you in mind. Supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant. In my blood, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. With humility and thanksgiving, receive with me the blood of Christ shed with you in mind." God, beyond elements, sanctify the sanctuary of our hearts, that we might commune with you beyond this moment and be attached to you. For the more attached we are to you, the more of your character comes a part of us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to transition to the benediction, I do want to encourage those of you who are present in the sanctuary and those who are streaming online to press your way to the services that have been planned for tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. I promise you, the Lord is in this place, and God has so much more in store for this installation, experience, and journey. Amen? Anybody excited about what God has in store for the house of Shiloh? Come on, you ought to bless the Lord. Pastor Brown, I am so proud of you. As your big bro, I want you to know that I stand with you. We all stand with you. And we are going to continue to pray that the Lord would give you strength to lead and to carry the mantle that God has placed upon your shoulders to do even greater things in the house of Shiloh. Now unto him who is more than able to keep you from falling, who takes great joy in presenting you faultless before the throne of grace with a smile on his face. To this all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, gracious God, may the Lord's peace, may the Lord's power, May the Lord's favor, may the Lord's mercy, may the Lord's healing presence be with you, not just tonight, but forever and evermore. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. God bless. One more announcement. All those interested in a church tour, please meet in front of the sanctuary. Go in peace. Amen.